was fine. I pulled myself together just in time to throw myself away. Once my perfect world was gone, I knew you ruined everything in the nicest way. You should know how great things were before you. Even so, the better still today. I can't think of who I was before you ruined everything in the nicest way. Bumps in the road remind us the worst of the best behind us. Only good things will find us, me and you. Days will be clear and sunny. We're gonna need more money. Baby, you know it's funny. All those stories coming true. Despite my better efforts, it's all for you. Kind of cliche. I'll be with you till the day you leave. You ruined everything in the nicest way.
It is my distinct pleasure to be able to be the first to introduce to all of you Mr. and Mrs. David Bowie.
This show is a member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network, gbncom.com.
Well, hello everyone out there in internet land. Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast.
Howdy.
We're sitting in a nice big compound here, and Jeremy is finally taking down the Christmas lights.
No.
You're not taking down the Christmas lights?
I'm going to dust them.
Oh, okay.
And put them back
and
up.
Put them back up.
I don't understand why we haven't taken them down. No one can see them.
That's true. But Christmas lights are nice.
If we're going to do Christmas lights, we should at least, you know, use Christmas lights, you know, on the super secret, you know, laser global positioning satellite. So that people go, look at the pretty Zorch.
I put some on my giant moon laser.
No one can see that from that distance, though.
Yeah, Jeremy, you put it on the dark side of the moon.
Next time?
It's cheaper to build over there. Come on.
It's true, but it's always facing away from the planet.
Alien invasion?
It's true, but how are you going to see anything if it's behind the moon?
That's true.
We could develop an intricate array of mirrors.
My suggestion?
That's true. Or we can move the moon.
Next time
you build on the moon, make sure you do it in big, you know, bold letters. Eat at Joe's.
But it's too expensive to build on the other side. The dark side's cheap.
True.
It's only filled with some sort of weird mutant supervillain guys that I had to eradicate. The mole men.
Did you kill the mole men?
No, I eradicated them.
Stupid mole men.
They're not quite dead. They're just mostly dead.
So go for a walk.
I do want to give a shout out to one of the podcasts that I used to listen to has gone the way of the dodo. It's a podcast called Warhammer Radio. They only did 3 episodes, and it was a comedy sketch show that was hilarious, but they just released a little update the other day. It said that they had to stop doing the show because of family issues. So, sadness
takes its toll.
But it's a good show. I'll put a link to the show in the schnotes just because it is. They're going to still keep up the three episodes, and it is really funny stuff, especially if you know anything about Warhammer. But it's a sad, sad day on that. But today we're talking about.
We're still on world building.
Woohoo!
At some point we'll move to world domination.
We're not telling them about our plans for world domination.
Okay. At some point
about world domination.
We won't talk about world domination.
Good. Yeah. But we're talking about empire, society, and culture today. Is that right?
Sure.
That right?
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Well, we'll be back after these important messages.
We don't have any important messages.
Well, we'll be back after these unimportant messages.
We don't even have those.
We'll be back after these messages.
Sad.
You will lie down before me, Jor-El! For you and then one day, Jor-El!
Oh my god, I just found a CGC 9.8 grade Ashcan edition of Mutant Warrior Babes from the planet Zargon number 1 with a chromium cover signed by the inker. I'm gonna bid right now.
Stop right there, citizen.
Oh my gosh, it's Night Ranger and Working Man from the Inner Circle.
Before you foolishly squander your allowance, check out the Fistful of Comics podcast.
Fistful of Comics podcast? What's that?
It's a weekly podcast covering comics, games, movies, RPGs, and other geeky goodness.
And where can I find this at?
www.fistfulofcomics.com.
Well, now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What's the other half?
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
All right, well, we're back. And, today, like I said in the intro, we're talking about empire, society, and culture, really. And so I think as far as we're talking about empires, I don't know if we're talking specifically, but like thinking like a backdrop for empires. I mean, empire, like having an empire, think sort of, I don't know, I always think like the Holy Roman Empire, you know, where you have such something that is so world-spanning that it's definitely a backdrop. You have rules or laws and various things you have to, laws and customs you have to deal with when you're in that society or in that empire. It gives you a lot of freedom to actually move around. You can have, oh Lord, anything you need, you know, like you need passport papers or coinage, you know, an empire is going to field that. Plus, obviously like an army, standing militia and an army.
Empires and countries bring an order to the chaos that is your gaming world.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you use it as a...
And they can be used as an antagonist or protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, empires not only can add order, they can also add chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Because most players, even if they're officially part of the empire, are going to run into problems with the local authorities who are either police or maybe military of that empire. Maybe it's frowned upon if you go adventuring / tomb looting in the local high wizard's tomb that happens to be part of the emperor's court when he was living.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of frowned upon.
You can also think technology-wise, as far as like the Roman Empire, they had roads,
yeah.
You know, aqueducts, sewers.
It makes adventuring even easier in some ways.
Yeah. And it actually, I mean, they had running water back in ancient Rome, so I mean, it's one thing you actually don't think about in a fantasy game of any type, is like, ooh, running water, hot baths,
mm-hmm.
But you know, that might be something you think of.
And empires and countries will allow for more things such as wizard schools, magic shops.
Diplomacy,
oh, that you could have all sorts of games on that. You could have characters from different empires who are trying to get along. You have to decide if you want the empire you're playing with. And when I say empire, I can also mean countries, too.
Yeah.
But sometimes the word empire seems to work a little bit better in a fantasy-type setting. But
countries would work good in a more modern setting and whatnot, futuristic. And planets on a futuristic.
And do you want your empire to be up-and-coming? Do you want it just to be normal? Do you want it to be collapsing and the players are trying to keep it afloat? Is it based on a theocracy? Is it have a king, a god? You know, what does it have? add so much more feeling and background to the actual world. Because especially humans, as well as some other civilized entities, are going to band together. And if enough of them band together, at some point you're going to have some sort of country or empire. And humanity has a tendency to band together because, well, in most fantasy worlds you have things like rampaging orcs or ogres or dragons. And, well, it's a lot easier to survive if your little village is part of the great empire instead of Joe's little village. You're part of Joe's empire.
Who has the local militiamen to protect them from the rampaging orcs
and dragons. Yeah, instead of the villagers having sticks, the local militia may have full armor, as well as the adventuring group could be part of that army. You know, there's just so many things that an empire or country adds to a game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, thinking of it in terms of society, I mean, when you're building an empire, building a society for your world, you want to sort of take into account where the society comes from. Is it a hierarchical society? You know, I mean, is it class based system? Is it a
class or caste based?
Yes, that's definitely something you want to think of, because not every country is going to be, or not every, especially in a fantasy setting, you don't want to specifically just think of medieval Europe and their feudal system and their systems. There's so many others you can look at.
And also, you need to look at it. Some characters like to, or players will ask the question, where does my character come from?
Right.
And one thing you need to look at, does a peasant who's part of a certain kingdom actually say, I live in such and such village that's part of such and such kingdom?
Yeah.
See, on my world,
one thing the Wheel of Time books did real well was what's the name of the town they're from? It's I can't bloody well remember it.
It's been so long since I read any of those books.
Anyway, the town they're at, it's so far out there that they haven't seen like a tax collector or anything. They didn't even know they were part of this empire.
Yeah.
The empire, though, is still claiming that they are.
That's one way to look at it. Or on my world, I have the Andradian Empire, which is vast. But if you ask a peasant, he might have never seen a tax collector. But the first thing he'll say is, I'm from this village, part of the Andradian Empire.
It's just because of how it's built. Right.
You may go elsewhere, though, and you're right. They're like, I'm from Joe's Crab Shack Village.
But even an interesting thing is the remoteness of it is like in your world, you could actually go into a town that's nowhere near the Andradian Empire, and they'll still say, oh, we're part of the Andradian Empire. But they just don't know any better.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, that's just part of
that. That can even be stretched into futuristic, planetary-wide, where you have remote planets to say, oh, no, we're part of the Galactic Federation, when, well, no, actually, Galactic Federation's way over that way.
They've sent one diplomat in the last 200 years, but we're still part of the Empire.
Exactly.
Because it's cool to say that, and two, there is a chance that if you need help, they're going to send help.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's especially important when you're dealing with building a society of how you're going to think of the individual in there, I think, is your characters are going to come from somewhere, and how society is on the world you're building is going to dictate how they react to things, you know, especially like things like slavery, anything like that is going to be a major thing. If the culture you're building has slavery as a commonplace thing, then, you know, you have to take a step back from you yourself and into your character and look at it and go, okay, well, my character would be fine with this. I mean, me, as a regular person here, slavery's wrong, obviously, but as your character, you still, even if you're a lawful good paladin, you wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the culture.
You may have a problem with how they're treated in certain circumstances.
Right.
But you wouldn't necessarily try to free the slave. You're just going to instead try to bring the master to justice, whatever justice would mean.
Sure. Because a lot of times you want to think about it, it's like, well, sometimes, I mean, that might be the best life for those slaves in the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's there. You have to sort of take that step back and think, oh, wait, no, that's not really, technically, it's not a person, it's property to these people.
And one thing to play around with, too, is how does the different classes work?
Right.
For example, in my empire, you're going to gain more political power, and usually wealth, as you go up in nobility. Problem. while the society in Andretti is officially both genders are equal, mm-hmm. it turns out that the females of the lower class have more freedom when it comes to jobs, when right. it comes to marriages, than they do in the upper classes.
Well, that's definitely something to think about.
Yes, it adds an interesting twist to it because
yeah. your gender roles and occupational roles and actually mix mm-hmm. that. And don't just lay one down. Like if you're doing a fantasy world or a futuristic world with aliens and other races and whatnot, I mean, the sky's the limit. There's nothing that says your dwarves have to have the same type of society as elves or even other dwarves. I mean, on a whole continent away, they could be entirely different. Just look at Earth, you know? We're all human, but God knows, our histories are all different.
And if you play around with the differences, you could have one player who happens to be a female noble, and in the same party you have a female commoner, and at one point the female commoner, she's doing whatever she wants. But at some point, the noble female's father calls her up and says, well, guess what? I've arranged a marriage for you.
Right.
Yeah, she has all the wealth and everything like that, but she has certain things because of her class, and when I say
social class,
that she has, and that throws an interesting thing into a character, actually. How do they work within the society that they're built upon? Just like the slavery thing. Or ownership of land.
Right.
Can an individual own land? Do they own land, but officially all of it's part of the actual empire and can be taken away at any time? That might not have anything to do with the game right away.
You definitely want to look at it and say, well, not everyone's going to have this free speech thing. I mean, it's not, you know, you can develop it entirely apart from the United States, you know, aspect of building a world or a country.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can have, you know, people say their mind disappear in the night. I mean, that's don't be restrained by your conventional idea of what a society is. Try to step out of that.
And also, even if you're not very, even if you don't use the alignments for societies, usually, though, you'll still come up with, this society is basically good, in the sense that this empire is basically good.
Mm-hmm.
If you do go with the alignments, though, to me, it doesn't make sense that just because the empire is basically lawful good, there's going to be aspects of that society that definitely aren't. Even government-controlled. Because to keep a government going, you're going to have, like, the underhanded things. Mm-hmm. The spies, the assassins, the things like that. That's something else that would be interesting to play with. I mean, it would be kind of interesting. Your party, who works with the local militia, who's part of the empire and everything's hunky-dory, and then they find out that there's an assassin who's going around killing certain people. And they start investigating it, and they find out, well, that assassin's part of the government.
Mm-hmm. So they're turning that on its ear.
Yeah. I mean, that happens in real life.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
But these are all things that add to your world. And it's kind of a sad world, in my opinion, that doesn't have anything like that. Yes, it's easy to start with just a little village, but you need to expand upon that. Your players are going to want something at some point.
Yeah, most certainly. And how societies interact is definitely something to take into account when you're building anything. I keep going back to it, but especially when different races are involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always sort of look at when you're building a world, look at the planet Earth, and a lot of people don't do this when they're making a setting, is they don't look at Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And look at it, and the there's cultural isolation and geographical isolation.
Yeah.
Right? And you have, I mean, let's look at it like Europe and the Orient. Mm-hmm. You know? You have two different, entirely two different types of cultures that
and
arose.
All the cultures in between.
Right.
I mean, and how that blend as you go across from Orient all the way to Europe, how it blends so nicely, actually. And it's great.
It's amazing how well it does blend.
Yes.
It travels across the...
Mm-hmm.
It does, because cultures just... And we have to also...
You know,
take,
You've done some stuff with your cultures with the, what is it, the,
Rakastas,
thank you. I wanted to say Rakshasa, I'm like, it's not it.
No.
It's Rakastas.
No crazy clown people in my world.
They're not all clowns.
Just that one in Supernatural.
There just happen to be cat things with hands that are backwards that kill you.
Yeah, well, Rakshasas, based off the original legends, are...
And look like clowns.
Yeah. They're nasty.
You're the one who used the clown in your game, you bastard.
It was a jester, and it was in love with the hag. Well, who knows?
You are correct in that statement. Yes, I did do some differences in cultures. For the most part, the main empire in my world, the Tyrian Empire, is European in its culture capabilities. That being said, I have several different races of Rakastas. And Rakastas, yes, I based them off the old AD&D cat people. And in the original AD&D one, they were ninjas in Japanese style. And they were really cool. I always really liked them. So
tiger heads.
Yeah, tiger
different
heads.
Different colored ones.
Yeah, black, yeah. Reds, blues.
They were in Thunder Rift at one point. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
One of the Thunder Rift settings has them.
Yeah. They were always really neat, but they never did anything with them after. When Third Ed came out, they just basically vanished. And so I resurrected them because I really liked them and created their own stats for them.
I've never heard of them at all until I played in your game.
Yeah, they were second ed stuff.
In the Thunder Rift setting, they had one.
When I played Thunder Rift, I never ran into them.
No.
Because I played in the Thunder Rift at the tail end anyway.
Yeah.
In an effort to expand on them, I decided to create different tribes of them which were different from each other in the way their cultures worked. And because their cultures were different, it influenced the way they actually interacted with other people and various different other social aspects.
I mean, you worked into a few things on yours. I remember, much like on Earth, it's like how different there are different rituals, cultural rituals. You know, like here on Earth, we have our own cultural rituals as part of being the you know, Americans. You know, we do. When we become 16, we get a car. When we, you know, it's like there's the Christian or the Catholic baptisms and things like that.
And confirmations.
Whereas you go over to, you know, an entirely different. I mean, looking at, you got religious cultural differences here and there. It's where it's like holding up, like doing one hand gesture is one thing one place and an entirely different thing in another part of the world.
Yeah, it's like people will probably, you know, kill me for this, but out of the different cultures, I've always liked the Alhassan the best, and right now, you know, that would be classified by our president as the axis of evil, because they're Arabic
in
style.
How's that again?
The axis of evil.
Yeah. Or it's like, I always look more like at the Japanese, the samurai tradition, where you have, if you have to have permission to go into someone's home. If when you go into someone's home, that person has to be very nice to you and very cordial, but you have to be nice back. If you were a samurai, you could show whether or not you respected them by where you placed your sword. If you placed your sword on your, if you were right-handed, and if you placed your sword on your left side, you were being disrespectful because you could go for your sword. If you put it on, you know, the other side, and which way the hilt was facing too, was also very important. I mean, whereas things to us Americans, we'd be like, "I'm just setting the sword
down." So, what does
it
mean when you go in and slaughter the whole household and take over?
You want to become shogun?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry for making that quick, but you know, it's just
now you're not.
No.
Actually, I'm not sorry. Yeah, I'm actually not sorry at all. I don't even feel guilty about it.
No.
Because, you know what?
I believe the rest of us, love our country.
So.
Yeah.
But, Americans.
Americans and Americans are two totally different
things.
There's
two different things there. But anyway, I guess.
But I digress. Going back to the culture thing. you know, the way the cultures interact, like with the Alhassan, they live in a desert. It doesn't rain. One of the first things that every Alhassan will tell you about when they travel north is the first time water fell from the sky. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You collect water off
a plant.
One
culture takes it entirely for granted. Another culture comes along and just goes, whoa. I didn't like Voyager, but Voyager was interesting to look at because of how they dealt with water. when they first showed up in the Delta Quadrant, water was like one of the big things that was traded around because it was so rare. But the Voyager shows up like, oh, we can replicate that. It's really simple. It's hydrogen, it's H2O, it's right here.
We're just giving like, away. Here you go.
And then they have aliens who you bathe in water?
Yes. We bathe in it. We drink it. We do everything with it. Yeah, once I'm going to pour it on the floor.
It's interesting to look at, though. It's like, cultural-wise, that's something to look at.
When the Alhausans travel north, their form of currency is toast because they trade in liquids. And not just water, but wines and stuff like that. Anything that is a liquid. But that's what they trade with.
So they run into the northerners who are like, damn it, it's raining again.
And now Hassan's like huddled under a rock screeching because it's like, water's falling from the sky.
Hey, one glass of water. Oh, whoops, I dropped it. Oh, that's okay, I got a whale over. Oh, it's raining. Hey, it's a giant cat.
Mine goes, psh.
Anybody need a rug?
Whoa.
Yeah, they're cool. They're upright. they're known to be safe, sentient. They're not going to be... turn into a rug except by anybody except for maybe one of your characters. You play Jethro Flamethrower, and you know the backwaters mage from some podunk town in the middle of nowhere. He's the only person in the town that can read, and so when people are like, tell us a story, he like opens up a book and just ad libs.
Bad Jeremy.
The book is upside down and there's nothing actually written on the pages.
The villagers don't know any different. They don't even know the difference between mages and priests.
Exactly, because they can't wrap their minds around the difference in magic. It all looks the same to them. Someone goes, and stuff happens. But, yeah, culture-wise, I mean, cultures affect the way things work.
Yeah, we have to look at also how long an individual entity lives, too.
That's going
to
affect the way the culture reacts.
Elves are an elven empire.
Yeah.
Humans are going to be like,
that's
why
does the
elven empire do something?
And that's core game designers that are published don't take into account is the longevity of a race,
mm-hmm.
Or even the shortness of a race. It's just like, that's going to be a big, big factor in there.
Yeah. I mean,
Look at the last 200 years, human life expectancy has gone up, by 20 years, more or less.
And it's getting crazy.
And it's getting...
problems.
As technology goes forward, we live longer. And
they expect us to work longer, too.
And it means... that's one thing, is overpopulation, I mean, there's a lot of people here.
But
when you think of a race of elves, good
look
God, they'd be everywhere.
Elves. Well, not necessarily.
Especially according to Bastards of Bloodlines book, how they pretty much pump everything.
It depends, though.
Yeah.
Not if they only... A long-lived race could actually have a built-in mechanism that basically they only produce one or two children every few hundred years. But something to remember about the long-lived races, they may just say, oh, that human empire over there is bothering us. We're going to go over here for 500 years, and when we come back...
They'll be gone.
We're going to be gone.
Yeah.
And we're going to be the same. Not to mention, when you walk
in... much more patient people.
Yeah. When you walk up against an elven mage, you put an elven mage next to a human mage, I would be a lot more afraid of that elven mage because,
I've been practicing for about...
You don't know how old he is.
Yeah.
You don't know how long he's been practicing.
The elven mage would probably be a lot more calm about it and a lot more patient... Whereas a human mage would cut corners a lot more and go towards like lichhood and things
but
elf probably be like, nah.
The elven mage
I'm
going
to live
trained,
to be 2,000.
Yeah,
so.
He might have trained in warrior craft too.
Yeah.
So he's like, whatever.
Which
I'm
one
going
of the reasons
like
D&D is way broken on that.
It is.
But yeah, you'd have elves. If elves lived to be 1,000 years old, you'd have elves running around at 1,000 that would be level 20 fighters, 20 rogues, 20 mages, 20
and
priests.
How they
because
try
they
to
have
offset
enough time
that
to
is,
do that.
Is they do try to offset that. They say things like, well, how the elven mind works, they do want perfection, so they do take time. So for a little bit, it takes... That's why when people run into my world...
The players need to do that, though.
Well, that's true.
It's like, if you're so detail-oriented in that way, if in 1,000 years you only gain 20 levels in a class... you would be so detail-oriented that it would take you, like, six days to make your bed.
And that might be true. But that's why in my world you run into young elves. You run into the elves that might only be 150 years old. They're just now becoming adults.
Right.
Because when you run into the older elves, they're like, huh, I don't like you. Or, I'm just going to ignore you. You are below me. I have nothing to prove to you because tomorrow you're going to be gone.
And in contrast to that, if you look at like the way orcs work in my world, orcs live, and half-orcs live for very short periods of time. Their culture is very brutal and very quick.
Yeah.
You know, they're constantly fighting, they're constantly bickering when they aren't being enslaved by the general,
They go by the Kurgan's motto, it's better to burn out than to fade away.
And that's why there's, in very few worlds, there's orcish empires.
There is no orc empire.
There's tribes that fight each other, more or less.
Because they don't survive long enough to build anything to last.
Right.
Which is both a society and maybe even a racial thing.
I liken the orcs, in my world, to like the Mongol hordes. The Mongols were capable of doing incredible things, and they did succeed in a couple of cases. Temujin and his son created some incredible civilization style things.
Like such a large percent of people have Genghis Khan's DNA in them.
He was a ladies' man.
Well, him and his sons, they figured it out. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, one in eight people in the world has Temujin's
something
genetic
ridiculous like that.
Material.
Crazy.
They were
so
capable.
He's actually successful.
They were capable of incredible things. The problem is the harsh environment they lived in reduced their lifespan to such a short period of time. It was easier for them to wander around nomadic and fight each other for space to survive in.
Well, that's what typically they did,
and
tell someone like Temujin or whatever that came along and actually united
But
them,
also in an orcish society...
And when they were united, they were vicious.
They very likely do not only give birth to a couple of children, though. They probably give birth to a whole packlet of children.
Because it was the only way that they'd make sure that a kid
survived
to adulthood.
But do you want to... there's also the Lord of the Rings way they did elves. The big elves. They basically just had bits of them. Vats of them. They grew. And think of that society. There is no society.
Elves grew in the Lord of the
Rings. Did I say elves?
You mean the orcs.
I apologize to all the elves out there who are...
I don't.
Yeah, you're a jackass. all the
stupid
orcs
elves.
In
but
the pits.
Orcs were elves. Twisted and corrupted by
so how about the next group? That were in the pits and crap.
Good question.
There's
where
no society. Yeah, from his magic.
Oh.
Or some such.
Well, you know, looking at the orcs from Lord of the Rings, it's very much it's very much a racial thing where you have the stronger rule the weaker. It's
because there's no time for society.
I know. It's like, you're going to do this. No. All right, you're going to do this. No. All right, you're going to do this. Okay.
Yeah. But it would be interesting.
You have, well, it's like they did a good job with the Ents.
Yes.
In that, how that they took for bloody ever to do things.
And I liked how the long-lived elves were in between that.
Mm-hmm.
They were patient, but when it came time to act, and that's another thing we have to look at. Just because a race is long-lived and certain things might take 300 years.
When they react to something, they might be harsh
or
swift.
Yeah, if you threaten their family, they're not going to just wander off. They're going to do nasty things to you.
But they
also,
1,000 years to train. It's really nasty.
They also understand, most of them probably understand the consequences. Not to mention, I mean, human life is important, but think about it, if you knew that you're going to live 2,000 years, and there's so much you can accomplish, you're not going to just go and get killed.
No.
You're going to be like, life is much more precious than yours.
I keep going back to the long-lived thing, but you also want to take into effect, if you're 1,000 years old, how far has society and how far has technology advanced in your lifetime? It's mind-boggling. You know?
Well, and maybe in the Elven society it hasn't.
And even in a futuristic setting with aliens, I mean, there could be aliens that live this long and be Earth? Yeah, that's a puny little insignificant speck in the galactic history.
Which could actually come a surprise to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because those elves that come out of the forest after 1,000 years and look around and a steam tank drives by, or those aliens who come back to Earth and the Earthlings go, huh, no, we don't like you, and vaporize them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Hey, wait a minute, last time we were here,
you guys were monkeys.
You guys were in caves with rocks.
Yeah, but now we're monkeys with laser guns. And we're going to eat you.
Stupid monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, and then...
That's like a quote from the Doctor Who show I was watching last night.
What, stupid monkeys?
No, well, that's what he called us, but... No, one of the quotes he said was, out of all the possibilities and the things that humans think about, the one possibility they never consider when looking to the future is the possibility that we survive.
That is true.
You know, and in the show, it was like the second show, it was called The End of the World, because what he did was he took the character 5 billion years into the future. Humans still exist on other planets. They've spread out through the universe, but
they've changed,
and,
they don't look... There's only one natural human that was playing. She was stretched. The new thing was being stretched. So she was a giant square of flesh with her face, and she kept looking at the actual lady going, "You're so fat." Yeah. But the humans were everywhere. They just had changed.
Because they had interbred with the different species and stuff. They were humans, but they weren't.
The intergalactic society was... The Earth should have been destroyed, but they liked how the sun shone behind it, so they kept it from exploding.
Until they ran out of money.
And then they ran out of money, and they finally had this big old party to show the end of Earth.
The end of Earth.
That's funny.
And all the people that were related, like, it was even kind of creepy. It was cool, but kind of creepy. They even had tree people. Yeah. They were related to the trees and somehow the humans on Earth.
Because of the way that the planet...
Acting
humans,
like elves again.
The way those humans... When those humans
left
the planet, when they, as they evolved over millions of years, they evolved to become more... Like,
well, because most people don't think we're actually going to survive. Well,
there's a lot of science fiction and things like that you can look at to sort of get inspiration for what society is. I mean, what society you want to have on your planet and your world. I would say don't restrain yourself. You know, if you have a good idea, if you have any idea, just go for it.
Well, also thinking about the long lived things, in a world where certain races, let's say on your world, elves are barely ever seen.
Right.
This small village, this one elf comes out who knows magic like crazy. He could become a god. He could be 1,000 years old and just know stuff. And these little humans are just going to be like, holy crap. And it might worship them.
We'll make him a god.
Yeah. Or he can vaporize us by looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he can fly. Or he can turn everything to gold. Or, you know, melt our brains. Or whatever.
Yeah, the age after the age you're playing in right now, in my world, sees a reduction of the elves due to a really bad war at the end of this age that we're in. And the elves retreat back to the forest and don't come out. So when elves show up in society, you know, it's unusual and strange, and people don't know how to react around them because they haven't seen them in thousands of years. They're legend by now. You know, there was this creature called an elf, and it lived in the woods. Oh, no, surely nothing lives in the woods except for monsters. No, they lived in the woods, and they used to come out and help people on occasion. That's a funny old wives' tale type thing. And then an elf comes out and they go, "What the hell are you?"
I don't know. How's it going?
Burn it!
I don't think you're going to do
snake.
That. I told you. You shouldn't have done that. I'm going to go back inside now for the next 1,000 years. Come back later when you monkeys are done.
It's definitely interesting to think about.
Well, think about diplomacy. Your human diplomat comes to the elven court, and the elves are like,
we'll talk to you next year.
We'll talk to you next year, Ferretti. You can stick around if you want. We're having a party later. I'm gonna go frolic, and they're like, "There's a war going on." Not here. No war here. Nope. Have a nice day. But, yeah, I'm gonna blink and you're gonna turn to dust. Hey, you're old. Hey, you're even older. Oh, there's your grandchildren. What are you talking about? You could have an elf who is friends with family for generations.
Yeah. There have been some Dragonlance did that.
Yeah, some stories.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I knew your father's 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 father.
Huh.
And then it gets really weird when they have children.
I used to adventure with him.
Because you have to throw in things like, you know, the random elf and human who get together. That's going to be so hard.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to see eye to eye on anything.
In a blink of an eye, your husband or wife, whoever's human, is already old.
Yeah.
And is going to die. Your children, oh, you outlived your children. Now they have grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have great-grandchildren. And you've aged maybe an inch, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you have a crow's foot now.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, oh, this is actually horrifying. I'm going to go rip my heart out.
Yeah.
And stomp on it. And then you throw in other races, like, you know, the dwarves. They're kind of in between.
You yeah.
know, but they don't want, they really don't want anything to do with anyone. They just want to do their own thing.
They are laissez-faire.
They want to build stuff. They want to, but that doesn't mean you have to stick with that.
No, I mean, you can have dwarves that like, do whatever.
Like thing, and I know, Ethan, you
don't like. Don't think in stereotypes is what
I know you don't like drow. But one thing I found interesting about drow is they're a long-lived race. They're a long-lived race.
But they suck.
But they have the brutality of orcs.
And they suck.
Well, no.
The brutality was bred into them due to the fact of the environment that they exist in.
Exactly. But they're basically elves. If they were not so brutal with each other, they would live just as long.
I like my dark elves.
Dorks.
Well, I like my dark elves, too, but they're completely different.
Your dark elves are nasty. I don't ever want to run into them ever again.
Stupid drow.
I haven't even started.
The dark elves on my world are the only race in the future that are kicked off the planet. Even the orcs aren't kicked off.
Off you go.
Yeah, the dark elves are actually kicked off because of how they're so brutal, and are forced away in junks and such. And create their own intergalactic empire of
terror.
Of necromongers?
Somewhat, yeah, kind of. Even the orcs are, yeah, some of the violent orcs are kicked off, but even the orcs are allowed a place in society.
That's because orcs, as short-lived as they are, they can control their tempers. They just choose not to, and it's like, I'm 15 years old, I've got another 5 years before my body starts to fail.
Mm-hmm. Give them a shock collar. You can train anybody with a shock collar.
Even zombies.
Yeah.
I don't know. We tried that with my cat. That didn't work very well.
There's something else about societies that we need to talk about. Actually, that brings up an interesting point. Societies of undead. In some magic societies.
Oh, it's intelligent undead.
We're talking about. Well, even the unintelligent would have a place in that society.
Well, now you're just talking about Land of the Dead. They're just looking for a home.
No, that guy should have shot that missile. He should have been like, they're just looking. Nah.
They're just looking for a home. Why don't you nuke them now?
But, no, the brainless ones would be at the lower end, obviously. They'd be used to, like, you know, clean up the streets.
They'd be the peasants.
You know, they'd be the peasants.
They would stand around and bump into each other. That's what they do.
Well, occasionally they would go get stuff. They would collect food and other things.
For their masters. For their dog
now,
masters.
In that type of society, necromancers. Maybe part of it. Or if you want to mix things up, how about living and undead coexisting? You could have that. Either one would be a dark thing where the undead are lords, or in another one, you could have laws that say, if you're a vampire, you will survive, but if you do such and such, like murder people, we're not talking about feeding, we're talking about murdering people, we're going to stake you and leave you on the sun. Because it's murder, either way.
Right.
You can have societies like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the vampire the characters run into doesn't have to be, I am a vampire, I live in a castle. It'd be, no, it's a society of them. It's a whole village of vampires. And they live peacefully. They go, hey, how's it going? Would you like some lemonade?
And they may pay you for services such as, we need to feed on you. We're not going to kill you. We're going to feed on you, and we're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of creep you to a normal person? Yes.
Yes.
But if that's part of the society, it might not be.
Right.
Not to mention a whole army of vampire soldiers.
Cool.
We support this empire. The rest of the soldiers fight during the day, and guess what? We fight at night. You guys are so screwed.
We can see.
We're gonna eat ya.
Yeah,
that would be. I've been thinking about
that. Would be
with
an
that.
Interesting premise for a setting, a society that's
society of dead
of undead as rulers that are known
rulers
to be undead.
Or
George Romero's next movie, existence. Society of the Dead.
He's got one more of those movies he wants to do.
He's filming one now, but it's not part of the continuity. It's called Diary of the Dead.
Well, he's got one more in the Diary of the Dead thing to do.
But all of those,
the
countries, the societies, and then we have to throw in environment. Undersea societies. Societies in the air.
How does the environment affect?
Or like, societies in the air, societies underground.
Underground.
Yeah.
Any number of things like that.
Like how does the actual environment influence people? Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at dwarves, I mean, people always talk about dwarves being, you know, solid. I always look at dwarves as being stoic, you know, because stone is unmoving and unmoved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, dwarves are not.
And I doubt you'd find many dwarves that are claustrophobic.
No. But the thing is you'll notice all the players that play dwarves play impulsive, rash, and emotional dwarves. Why are they adventuring?
They don't fit in with society.
Their society is completely different. Like the dwarf father, I mean, he was beaten in the head by his wife all the time. And everyone's like, no one can figure out why she stayed there in the environment. She obviously didn't fit in the society while she wanted to have kids. Her kids were the same way. Her kids all went.
Well,
yeah. The father just sat there stoically with the pan on his head.
Gork and Berg. Uh-huh. Gork was just a jackass. Berg was a berserker. Berserkers were at the edge of society. Useful. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants them.
Nobody wants them around because if they get pissed off, they kill.
They cause problems with society. And I mean, that's things that you need to look at. I mean, undersea environments. I mean, that type of empire is going to be completely different. An environment in the air, like some sort of avian or
like
cloud or elementals. You could have a society of elementals. That's not really played upon. You could have a whole setting in the plane of fire or the plane of air.
That would be scary.
That's going to be very different. The lower classes and the peasants are going to be just the normal elementals.
Even in a, you could even have a race just on a, I mean, not even getting away from fantasy, you have a race entirely on a planet where physics don't work like they do here, you know, I mean...
Or like a gas giant.
You know, a gas giant planet where you're all gaseous beings, you know, mm-hmm. something like that.
Or societies that exist...
Or you're a liquid creature, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or societies that exist, but they are below or part of another society, such as like sewer societies. You have the main society, and you have the society that feeds off of it. Not necessarily always literally.
Right.
They're just not necessarily seen.
Well, now you're getting into the you know, social conflict theory and Marx. You know, you have the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. It's that style of thought.
Yeah.
Look at the movie Metropolis, you know. You have the workers' society and you have the non-workers' society. The factory owners versus the factory owners versus the factory workers.
I was thinking more of, like, were-rats in the sewers, but that'll work, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have two split societies.
They're rats that turn into people.
Yeah, before Berg kills them.
You spray poison on them or put out giant traps.
And they go,
But no, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's interesting.
I mean, yeah. I mean, how they handle things differently. I mean, class is a big factor in a society.
Class, where you live,
and
money,
moving from class to class,
money
and how classes
is
talk
so
to each
important.
Other. Yeah, economics.
You could even, in some societies, and in a fantasy society, you should play upon that. Just because you're the richest individual in the area, I really hated
this series, but Trigun.
Yeah.
The rich people on that planet had water. You know, like they run into the rich guy who owns water, a big water well.
But how
and he's rich
many,
because he owns a water
how
well.
How many nobles in real life really didn't have a lot of money? The only reason they existed at their noble level is because they had a name.
They were born into
it. People gave them money, or they took loans.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be, when you walk into an area, an adventurer can walk into a town and have more money than God.
Oh, yeah.
And
especially
could buy out anything. And this noble goes, I don't care. You may have 1,000,000 gold, but I am the law. Well, I could buy... No. I'm the law.
Mm-hmm.
My name is such and such. I'm this noble. And titles say a lot.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That adventurer goes, my money is cool and everything, but now I have something else to strive for. I want to be a noble. I want my children to be nobles. Because it's a class thing. I mean, these are all interesting things to play on to make your world more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And building them is not hard.
But as far as you know, source material examples to go look at, honestly, a good one is, ones off the top of my head, is The Chronicles of Riddick with the Necromongers is a good idea.
There's a book called Cultures Across the World. You probably find
it. Yeah, look at a lot of Earth.
Any sociology book
yeah.
is going to talk real nice about this
and
stuff.
And social psychology books will help as well.
Or even just, you know, just take a globe.
Yeah.
And a simple history book.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah, look, just look at history, you know what I mean?
Spin the globe, put your finger on it.
We all know about Japan. We know basics about China.
Right.
Persia.
And if you don't, study it.
Middle
Read
East.
It.
America, Britain. I mean, we all...
We know the basics.
Where is that
the
that's
outlines.
All, but for a start, that's all you want is the basics.
Yeah.
So that way you can take the basics and you can twist it. Because you do not... Unless you're trying to do a historical game, you do not want one of the people going, well, actually, in history, this is how it happened. You want to tell that individual, well, actually, in my world, it did not happen that way. It happened this way.
So your character still gets slaughtered by the pack of moles.
The talking mole has not put on the shotgun.
Another good example is the series Babylon 5.
Uh-huh.
Another good show.
It's a great show. Farscape is a good one, too.
I never did get to see a lot of that, but I heard it was really
Unfortunately,
good.
While I don't have anything...
Now, obviously, we mentioned Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against Greyhawk. And I don't have anything against... Well, probably the best like D&D type setting that kind of plays on that is the Forgotten Realms.
Oh, yeah.
The problem with it, it still is more European style.
Oh, yeah. So all the fantasy settings are pretty much like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's really sad.
And even, I would say, even like the Oriental Adventures
it's still,
is more a Western look at
yeah.
it. You know, it's...
I would...
I'm really happy with one of the books I picked up at Gen Con, Chin, the Warring States,
mm-hmm.
Is actually pretty good about... taking an Eastern look
yeah,
at that.
I mean,
have you guys ever read the Al-Qadin books?
No, Al-Qadin.
I've read a few. They were okay.
Again, they took a Western look
yeah.
on the Middle East.
And I mean,
Middle
that's
Eastern
what we understand.
Society.
That's
right.
what we understand.
And that's what we're
that's
having.
Fine.
That's when you run into problems where we have, where you think of it, thinking things in terms from a Western perspective, you get people who say things like, oh, in Japan, they don't have a lot of religion. Where it's like, well, no, you were less ignorant and actually looked at it,
it's
everywhere.
Different. It's a different
religion.
It's just different
does not
religion.
Western religion.
And that's why I really think...
They still follow it.
Just first, I think first just taking a simple taking a simple history book, taking what you've learned in high school, taking a globe or a map, start with the basics and then change it. Change it to what you want. Start simple and then you can get into the other stuff.
Right.
And explore the deep parts of society. Because as you age, your players are going to want to do that.
And
simple hack and slash is fine, but we want culture. We want those little nuances.
And what's amazing is if you look at the variance and the disparity between two cultures that are just could be possibly mere miles. Like, look at the Roman Empire and then look at Vespasia or what was the name of the barbarian country? Gaul.
Gaul. Or the Goths.
And the Visigoths and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking less
country.
Than... Yeah, the Gaul. Gaul was country.
Well,
the land of Gaul. The
it's more just an area.
Even the Celts, you know. I mean, it gets into that.
But if you look at it, the Visigoths were on the northeastern edge, less than 600 miles from the country of...
It's neat
and
how you
they
can
were
have
completely different.
Different cultures so close. And that should be... And also, like we talked about, environments. A mountain range does a lot of things. But put a mountain range in the middle of a landmass...
It's going to split it up. Look at India.
Yeah.
India was culturally isolated. So was, so was China. But India had water on three sides
islands.
And mountains to the north. They were not... they didn't have a lot of visitors.
I've only touched on this a little bit, but islanders, whatever you call them, those cultures are completely and utterly different.
They will be alienated
they
when
will
it
be
comes to
very,
them.
Like, and it would be neat to play in that. I haven't run a game like that. I've had people run into some islanders and get people in trouble because the society is completely different. It'd be kind of interesting to play in that type of society. You don't have steel. You don't have metals. You have stones, but that doesn't mean your society is not advanced. It's just different.
I mean, look at the Polynesians.
Exactly.
Polynesians
are one of them. There's
Polynesians, Haitians.
I'm trying to think of
the Hawaiians.
The stones of the faces on
Easter Island?
Yeah.
I think they were Polynesians, though.
They actually have a different name for it. The name of the island is Rapa Nui.
Oh yeah, there's a movie about that. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, they were. I mean, incredibly.
They tried to find that movie.
Yeah, it's called Rapa Nui.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah. I actually used to
own
it.
That's the name of the island, which means big sister. And then there's Rapa Nui, which was the little.
Yeah, they took off all the trees and basically destroyed their society. That's sad.
Yeah, but they needed the trees to grow, and they didn't realize that. They didn't take into consideration how slow the trees were.
But, you know, society on that type of setting, completely different, and I think it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And build on that. Look at what your own society is. Play upon that. Most of us listening to this, just normal Americans, fine. But look into your family history. Find out where you're from and play on that. Maybe you're Irish. Have it like an Irish type society. Maybe you're African. Have an African society. That's another thing. There's not a lot of good African settings out there. No. I'm not talking about a Western. That's a good one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I do like how it's not really a Western view.
Mm-hmm.
It's its own view. It's very neat.
Yeah.
But that's sometimes hard for us Westerners to play in that.
Oh, yeah. Miami is very difficult to pick up and integrate yourself into because it is utterly foreign. Utterly foreign than what we're used to. Well done.
I enjoy the setting. I just wish there was an Islander one out there. Whatever. Yeah.
Hey, now you have an idea for a book to write and get published.
Yeah. I already have like an Islander society. I just haven't really played on
the Atlanteans.
No, the Atlanteans are not. No, I have a.
We've never traveled to the islands. They're so far away.
Actually, you guys did at one point. In the basement of this one guy's home, there was a. Ethan might remember this. There was a gateway to the islands. You don't remember the island that your character beat up? Because they attacked some pirates and they were going to.
That was not a good night for me.
They were going to throw them to the mountain.
Yes,
dog.
Yes.
Oh, God, I remember that.
And he jumped in to beat them up, to punish them, and they're like, you destroyed our mm-hmm. sacrifices. Now we're going to have to sacrifice one of our people.
And the volcano went off?
And well, no, they actually went up and talked to him, and I think they came up with a plan. Sacrificed.
And I was very rude to him.
Yes, and he was George
not
Burns.
Good.
It was George Burns, Mountain God. He had another name, obviously. But
yeah, but he was played by George Burns.
He wasn't very happy.
No, I don't blame him.
He was in somebody's basement. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was the painting of the wall.
Here's the troll! Here's the troll of the magic paints!
Yeah, he was painting in the basement, painted a door, and painted a freaking jungle.
To the jungle island.
With the dinosaurs. Oh, God, I do remember that setting now. I didn't realize that was an islander setting. I thought we were just out in the middle of nowhere.
But no. that's all their culture by isolation. Islands or even a jungle.
Island.
Yeah.
Arctic settings.
An Arctic setting, yeah.
Yeah.
There aren't any I know of, really.
No.
I can't think
Arctic
of any.
Wise.
Well, Frostburn? Is that what it's called?
No.
I mean, that's the best one I can think of.
Frostburn talks about it, but no.
You could take other things.
Frostburn wasn't bad. Sandstorm sucked.
It wasn't very good.
No.
Yeah, and that's
another thing.
Well,
you guys have been to the north
of
my world.
Yeah.
Seen how they deal with the fact that...
Yeah, but that was more like, from what I understand, that was more like tundra, not really like Antarctica. You know, we're talking about vast snowfields.
If you guys
were
traveling
farther
about
north,
snow.
You wouldn't hit that. But it was a tundra.
And then Hollow World.
It was cold.
You could do a Hollow World setting. That's different than caves, because Hollow World is an actual world.
The interesting thing is like the way they can do the onion world. Have you ever heard of that? Where they do layers upon layers of society, and layers upon layers of earth. Like there's the outer ring of the earth, and you have this on it. Then you go in, and there's another layer inside that, like an onion. You peel down, and it has layers of different, basically completely different worlds in a single world environment.
And I think it would be neat to have a floating society. I mean, up in the air.
Like
it's built
like
on actual, or built on actual clouds, who occasionally either one, if they're nice, they don't raid, they trade, or if they're not nice, they occasionally raid.
Like the Sky Raiders from that old Earth Dawn series, the trolls in the big airships that raided people. I always liked that setting. I was one of four people.
Well, I liked Earth Dawn. I just didn't get to play it very often. My last time I played was not very good because I felt horrible. Playing from a bathroom, not fun. don't recommend. Mark, what is Mark? What is that? Yeah, okay. I've got some dice. It's all good.
That was bad. We were gaming and so horrible. I don't know what I ate.
But I think we've tried to hit on at least everything that we can think of. If you think of anything else, please send us an email or hit us up on the forum. Start up a topic, please. We'd love to hear what your thoughts on it are. I mean, there's a lot more we could talk about on this at some point. So
yeah, there's so much. The major problem with this topic for this podcast is there is so much information to cover,
mm-hmm.
and when it comes down to time, we have so little time. We've probably recorded enough to break this into two recordings.
Yep.
But yeah,
but we'll be back.
Superman, can you hear me? Superman, where?
Who is this Superman?
You'll find out, General. And when you do...
Come to me, Superman. If you dare, I defy you. Come. Come and kneel before Zod. Zod!
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn! I wish I'd visited YoggSothoth.com more often.
YoggSothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news... Even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
The Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from YoggSothoth.com.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Well, we're back with our three-parter. And my two colleagues have gone completely insane. But today, Nathan's going to be giving us character. I'm going to rant, as I'm prone to do, and Jeremy's got a nice review for us. So we're going to start with, we've got character.
We've got character.
Oh, we're going to start with me.
Yes, because I've got to find something to play for you guys before my rant.
Holy crap. Pardon my French. We're going to talk about...
His character's not French, is he?
No, because then he would talk like this! Right, Ulfgarar. In my world, an interesting point of note is some of the races vary from the traditional D&D standard. The ogres in my world, where albeit they're large and hideously ugly and nasty, they're not stupid. Actually, ogres are a magical creature. Very magical creature. They're very magic-oriented creatures. The society they come from is very intelligent. Due to the fact that their magic capabilities, they were greatly feared, for the most part, wiped out by the lesser races, like humans, who, if we can't...
Smurf.
...get or eat it, we'll kill it. Wow,
no, well, that's
smurf
orcs.
There.
That's orcs.
There can be a good smurf there, yeah.
If I can't smurf it... Kill it or eat it. But anyways, Ulfgarar was an ogre tribe leader, and the local little peasants in a small village called Vandergall, which was south of Letrasil on my continent, was overrun by ogres. Technically, what happened was the ogres finally came back to their native lands, and these humans had overrun their areas and, you know, had built their little village on top of their burial grounds and stuff. The ogres weren't very pleased with this. So the ogre leader decided he'd go try to talk to him. First thing they did was they beat him into a bloody pulp and then preparing to burn him at the stake.
Black
characters came to intercede on this behalf. The only problem is because they were humans and the rest of the ogres were at that point in what's called a blood rage, they decided, you know, when they attacked the town, they weren't going to take anybody as a prisoner. And so the players ended up having to deal with these ogres. Ulfgarar, however, being wise as he was the tribe leader, used his strong leadership capabilities in an attempt to calm the blood rage out of the rest of the ogres. Thankfully for the players, they managed with the help of Ulfgar to find a potion that would help break the blood rage. A little bit more background into ogres in our world. They have the ability to do magic innately. They have the ability to meld. Earth meld?
So they are part of the magic.
They can go like through earth and stuff. See, even Diego doesn't like the ogres.
Yeah.
It's because they're part of the magic. I already told you that.
I'm going to make you part of the magic here in about 5 seconds.
Fireball.
Delayed blast. But...
on with it!
Earth melt, or something like that. Basically, they could pass through anything that was a natural material. Okay. So you can guess what happened when, you know, players are like, I'm going to kill that ogre, and the ogre goes... he's gone. Where'd he go? And he pops up from the ground and goes, hello. Grabs a guy and drags him halfway into the earth and goes, goodbye. And leaves him stuck there.
We all know the in and out of everything, but when great white sharks, pops up out of the water, they go, hello.
It's great.
That would give sharks a whole new perspective right there.
Yeah.
Now,
but ogres, really Ulfgar, why is ogre leader help players save the small village? In the end, the village was managed to be moved off the tribal ancestor lands, and everything worked fine because ogres can happily coexist with humans if they aren't retards.
Foolish.
That was Ulfgar.
Foolish human.
Okay.
With a lot of digression.
Yeah. Digression is good, though.
The Rant. Today's rant actually is a response to an old Pulp Gamer episode of Out of Character, episode number 17. I'm going to play a little snippet of it here, just so you know what we're talking about. There's going to be a link to this episode in the schnotes, as well as a link to the Pulp Gamer website, which is at www.pulpgamer.com. It's a great show. Check it out. But this is a snippet of what we're going to be ranting on.
Left over.
Absolutely, Jeremiah. You said you had something about your friend's daughter plays Dungeons and Dragons. And
well, it's actually not my friend, although I do have friends whose daughters play Dungeons and Dragons. This is a column that is in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. This is January of 2007, so this isn't something from the 1980s, just to prep you guys that this is a modern article. Also, bear in mind, this is a column that is directed at Christians, so it's not directed... the intended audience is not everybody in the United States, just Christians. A reader of the newspaper writes in, I have a good friend whose daughter is into playing Dungeons and Dragons. She doesn't feel she has the right to tell the girl she cannot play. Is this something believers should be concerned about? And his response is essentially, well, a parent has every right to tell their child what they can and cannot do.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah, of course. I mean... as long as you're not physically harming or mentally traumatizing your children, you can raise them however you want to. And if you want to say, tell them.
If you want to raise them to be idiots, you can raise them to be idiots.
And in fact, we have that right. Of course,
and many people do.
Yeah, preventing them from playing Dungeons and Dragons isn't going to turn them into an idiot. It might lead towards that, but anyway.
Okay, so was this the bulk of his response? Was a parent?
No. That was just the first sentence. After that, he goes into a big long list, a laundry list of why Dungeons and Dragons is dangerous. And implies that it is evil, and he definitely says that it is anti-Christian. One of the things is he said that the game is based on role-playing, which is meant to transcend into real life. That's
transcend
news to me, I guess.
To real life?
Yes, yeah.
So that we get lost in our fantasy?
Right, but, Tom Hanks.
Okay, but if you transcend into real life, that's like transcending into your job? Or do you mean transcending out of real life?
Well, I don't want to put too much meaning into his words. As the sentence stands, it doesn't make any sense to me.
The point you think he's trying to make, though, is that it is...
I think the point he's trying to make is that he says, well, here's another quote. He says, I think we cross a line when people start to confuse their own identity with their characters. So apparently he believes that role-playing games cause people to become their characters. And this is a myth that is almost 30 years old.
Yeah, that one's pretty dated.
I can't believe that anybody who's been reading the newspaper would bother to write in a newspaper something so obviously ignorant. Now, I know he's talking to Christian believers, but he's talking about real-world things here, and he's talking about a real game, and he's spreading a lot of mistruth. He goes on to say that people who get into this game demonstrate a bizarre idolatry in their preoccupation with it. And if he's using the word idolatry simply in the Christian sense, well, there's no way you can argue with that, because idolatry just means that you're venerating something other than God. So that's a theological argument that can't be argued with, really.
Well, except that I'd say that most of us, the vast, vast majority, don't worship the game.
So this is a multi-person rant, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I heard this one, and just the fact that this was that article's published in a January 07. Granted, it's a Christian thing, but I've known Christians that role-play.
Yeah, we have a good friend who's a Christian.
Yes.
I mean, I consider myself a Christian, too, but he's much more of a Christian than I am, who role-plays all the time and enjoys role-playing games.
And I get sick and bloody well tired of how the media looks at gamers, and especially how we still have these 30-year-old stigmas to get over. And, I mean, it's as Henry Rollins says, it's a curve this bloody high. This shouldn't be an issue anymore. This is just so freaking ridiculous. I've played role-playing games almost, you know, we've all played role-playing games almost 20 years of our lives at this point, and we know people that have been playing it for longer, and we're all constructive members of society.
His article is stating that basically children who haven't read any of these role-playing games, when they role-play as children, which we all do.
Oh, yeah.
As we play Cowboys and Robbers, that is all evil, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Basically what he's stating as a general overview, even though he doesn't say it, is that, in his opinion, having a mind that uses creation, you know,
creativity,
right,
to establish intelligence and to further expand on your abilities is evil.
I mean, and if this guy, I would challenge this guy to bring up facts. You know, it's like, well, where is your proof that playing D&D or playing any kind of role playing game makes us more violent and prone to do that thing? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but while we were listening to that, Nathan shivved me 12 times. I mean, come on, what's wrong with that? It's just one of those things that I just look on it and I can't wrap my mind around it, because, I mean, I'm a sensible adult. We're all sensible adults. We look at it and just go, why is this such a hang-up for people? It's like saying dancing is evil. It's like, come on.
Well, some religions do that.
And I just don't understand it. Anyone that wants to...
There was a religious group.
Anyone that wants to promote this kind of just idiocy... It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, instead of worrying about some gamer...
Why don't you stay ignorant?
Instead of worrying about some gamer dorks, why don't we try to, like, stop killing each other? Or, I don't know, maybe solve, like, the poor problem or the starvation.
Or maybe...
The genocide
cure
in the world.
HIV
or cure
cancer.
A disease. Instead we waste our paper on these stupid, idiotic articles about people who just want to have some fun... And they use religion.
What's worse when you're a teenager? Sitting around your gaming table with your close friends, exercising your imagination, or possibly going out drinking, doing drugs. I mean, what would he rather do
women.
That?
Yeah, would he rather have his daughter pregnant? Would he rather have him, her, it on drugs? Yeah, I mean
anyway, you twist the fact saying, oh, these people who are in prison play role playing games, that's... It's like, yeah, they drink milk, too.
Yeah.
Is that the cause? No.
My parents never, ever had a problem with me role-playing. Because they were fine with it. They knew what it was. They did not say,
they knew that
oh,
they are stable and know the difference between fantasy and reality.
They didn't ever say, oh, we're going to go out and worship a piece of paper gaming book. Or that
we're going to go run around in steam tunnels.
Yeah, these demons or these gods and these books, they're not made up. They're obviously real. So I'm going to go worship Zargon, Lord of Chickens, and gain power over chickens.
No, and I'd say this, if this stuff was real, like I'll put a link in the show notes to that, to
Chick Tracks.
To Chick Tracks Dark Dungeons.
I want to punch that guy in the face.
Yeah, you read those? Violence? They are funny. Until you realize they're serious.
They're
the D&D one.
They're brainwashing. And this isn't even bad-mouthing religion at all. It's not. It's just these certain people, not just in religion, in a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, there are ignorant people everywhere.
Ignorant and pieces of smurf. I cannot even believe it.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where I'm just sick of it. And it's literally, it's a curve that's, you know, a millimeter high that shouldn't even be a hang-up for anybody. It's just something that we can all move past. I mean, it's the same thing that I say is, you don't like what's on the TV, turn the bloody thing off.
Turn the freaking channel.
As long as whoever's playing the game is a well-adjusted member of society and knows that the difference between right and wrong, knows the difference between fantasy and reality, there's not going to be a problem. Me playing D&D, me playing any kind of role-playing game has not had a detrimental effect on my life. I still go to school. I still have friends. We get together and we don't game sometimes. Or kind of
we just hang out, watch movies, or go out and eat. I mean, it's just because we play role-playing games doesn't mean we come over and go, my level 31 paladin is going to slay the dragon tonight.
It's unfortunate that most people's stereotypical view of a gamer is that. And it's like, no.
They think we're a 28-year-old person who lives in the basement of his parents' house, doesn't pay rent, doesn't hold a job, all they do is game. Now, granted, I know people who are like that.
Oh, yes.
But the fact of the matter is, well, they may be 28 years old, and they may be living in their parents' house. They do hold a job. They are a contributor to society. And they don't game all the time, either. They have other requirements and stuff that they do. You know, I've lived on my own since I was 17.
Right.
I dealt with, in my entire, early years of my life, I dealt with this kind of bullshit.
Smurf.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it flat out. You can smurf it out. I don't care. It was bullshit.
Smurf.
My grandmother believed everything she heard about Dungeons & Dragons. And when we went over there, we were constantly persecuted on the fact that we played role-playing games. You know, God forbid we actually use our imagination to try to, liven up the situation we were in. I mean, At that point in time, everything was terrible.
I think Jeremy's right. It's a natural extension of what we do as young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is this role-playing that we all do.
I ran, before I knew anything about D&D or any other role-playing games, I'd run around with a sword and shield and fight dragons in my backyard.
That's normal
kid behavior.
And what role-playing games do is they take that to the next level where you exercise more of your mind.
Not to mention, it's kind of neat in a religious
environment. They set down rules that you have to learn. I mean, it helps you read more, for crying out loud.
Not to mention, in a religious environment, it makes it a lot better when the people that are trying to do the religion actually have creativity and actually have a mind of their own. That's where a lot of our religious texts come from. Creativity of the human mind. Whether there's a god behind that or not does not matter. It's the creativity.
I'm just sick of the media and people taking this stance of just not checking their facts and not actually looking at both sides of this. They only look at the extreme cases.
It's like, you know what?
99% of the gamers out there lead regular lives.
There's
that 1% out there that lives in their parents' basement, and that's who they always focus on.
And those individuals, I feel sorry for. Because we've known gamers. We've known a few gamers who do worship, and that was pitiful. That was pitiful. That individual,
you felt so bad for them.
Could have been so much better. Could have done other things, but all he wanted to do was just the game, and that was pitiful. That is not the norm. Most of us are quite okay doing whatever else we need to do. We do normal things in life. We go to work.
We go to school.
I'm getting married.
So am I.
Normal things like that.
I have a dog.
Some of us want... Well, you're... Yeah. he'll get married at some point. But
not to the dog.
No.
We'll
come up with some nice hot lunch.
We hope
girl.
Not.
Woo-hoo!
But you work on that Russian bride thing or something.
Yes.
But anyway, the point is...
We just gotta learn to read Russian first.
The rest of us want to have a normal life. We just have hobbies. How about all the people... Why don't they ever look at sports fanatics?
Yeah, what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Well, what's the difference between some guy who goes paints himself blue to go to a football game?
How about people that gamble, that enjoy gambling?
Yeah.
How about movie
gambling is a hell of a lot more hazardous to your health than role playing ever will be. You're actually using something that is, you know, required for sustaining life. You're burning your money on something that has almost no
return. Gaming is a socially is not a socially accepted activity.
What's funny is,
and it's ridiculous.
What's funny is this.
Why it isn't?
Role playing games are socially unacceptable. Video games are now becoming to the point where they're socially acceptable.
Not entirely. You still have place
stigma where everyone says, video games are
violent. Mainly though, it's for it's for online gamers though.
Well,
because you have those clinics that are starting up, and like China has its, you know, anti-video game
where they they use electrotherapy.
Yeah,
but they're effectively
kidnap their kids in the middle of the night and take them out to some like brainwashing camp.
But China also has like these little companies that have sprung up that actually play the game to raise money to send it to. Which I actually thought of doing. I thought of getting some computers together, getting some of us together just to farm money.
Oh God, no! I'm
and
not
just
doing
sending
that.
It to people.
That I hate doing that. I've done that before for my first guild in EverQuest.
Think of the power. I mean, wait. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No.
I'll
have to understand a lot of
just destroyed everything we talked about.
Where
I'll take
them right
outside.
Video gaming is an addiction.
We can sacrifice them later.
Yeah. Where the internet video gaming is an addiction, you also have to look at the fact that people are heavily oppressed. They have no outlets for their creativity because every form of the media is controlled in some way, shape, or form. The only place they have that they can go is someplace like online.
But then, I mean,
there can be addictions to everything.
Yeah.
Yes. There can be crazy people.
On the other hand,
is
you have gaming addiction. It's everywhere. It's not just in those places. They have it in Europe. They have it all over.
But it's not just in gaming.
But yeah, it's ridiculous, and it is a stigma that I'm just sick of.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
stupid.
There's another thing I have to say about addiction. When we talk about video game addiction, my question is this. People have to have a certain type of personality that has that capability of becoming addicted before they can have a video game addiction. The question you have to ask yourself is, would you rather have them addicted to a video game or addicted to some sort of drug that's actually going to destroy them and destroy their family and the people they know around them? I tell you what, I'd rather have the video game. Because
and in every case, there's going to be extremes.
Yeah.
I mean, my problem with the media is they always report the extremes. When it comes to gaming,
it's because the media, for the most part, are idiots.
Yeah,
they don't.
I'm tired of it.
Good media people either don't get enough, they're not seen enough, or they're considered just on the side. You have all this crap out there.
The way the media works is you have the right wing and you have the left wing. There is no middle ground. They are constantly at war with each other, which is why you get channels like Fox saying, you know, those libertarian, you know, those democratic bastards over on this channel are saying this stuff, and this channel over here is saying those Republican freaks over on Fox are saying this.
If you want to have a good laugh, check out Conservapedia sometime.
Oh, God.
Well, either way, this writer, this guy who wrote this article,
he wrote Wikipedia saying that he
needs to stop writing these lies.
It's liable, and the fact of the matter is
his head
entirely
out of his...
I'm just...
Smurf.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised that someone has not brought this to, like, Wizards of the Coast.
And actually get a clue.
Because since it is liable, it is a... They could sue
for it. Get a clue. This has nothing to do with religion. This has nothing to do with morals.
Because I would challenge this guy.
This
to
has
show,
to do
show, the, show me the money. Show me the proof.
Stupidity.
You know, you say this brings about violent behavior, this is bad. Well, where's your proof? I want to see it. Because I don't think bloody hell exists.
I've been playing role-playing games for the past 20 years. And I'll tell you what. The more I game, the more mellow
I
get.
And I would tell you, for every gamer they would bring out that has these problems,
Trot out 200,000 that didn't.
Exactly, and you could also trot out 200,000 reasons why gaming isn't what does this to this person. You know, it's like, oh wait.
Once you start to actually examine the other aspects of that person's life, I bet you'll find correlations with other things.
You're talking cause and effect here, and I don't think, and gaming is not the cause of these effects. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But
gaming is a side effect of how they attempt to deal with that cause.
But that's that rant. We're going to go ahead and move on to Jeremy's nice review.
Hey
the review.
Okay.
We're almost done.
Well, I saw twice this week a very, very neat movie, which happens to be called 300. Now, some of you might know what that is. It's not a... Assuming, not filled with clowns.
Assuming some of your gamers may have heard of this film. It's,
yeah,
it's
you
a very obscure
it.
Film.
Very, very.
It might be playing in the near you.
It may have
been very limited release.
May have been a graphic novel.
Only like 3,000
pages. May have been a historical point that actually happened somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
May be filled with Greeks.
Maybe.
Yeah. Filled with Persians too.
Yeah,
maybe
Persians.
Filled with lots of Persians.
An
Axis of Evil?
Yeah.
Purrs. Maybe. But 300, awesome movie. Got a bunch of Greeks. Spartans, actually. There was some other Greeks. They didn't really show much of them. They were pansies. Anyway, Spartans.
Yeah.
Whose whole life is built around glorious death in battle. Now, is that crazy? Yes, completely and utterly crazy. I personally do not want to die in battle. While that's heroic, that might hurt.
We're also not Spartans.
I would not wear that Speedo thing and walk around without a shirt because,
that would frighten people.
Society would collapse.
It would frighten me. And if I ran around in it, society
would
collapse.
But if we were Spartans.
But if we were Spartans.
We would look just like them.
We would be
ripped and walking around with a
six-pack.
We'd
have
six-pack
probably. They
didn't have six-packs, man. They had 12-packs. Those
guys
were
so action-packed. The beginning,
the theater were drooling.
Helped build the story.
Heck, some of the men were drooling.
Then there came the violence. And then more violence.
Far
and then more violence.
And Farmer, we've never seen you look better.
Yeah. And more violence. And there was still story there. It was great. Simple story. I can't ruin the story. You can go see the movie. Go tell your friends about it. Won't ruin the story. We already know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Spartans, while they all died heroically, they're going to lose. At first.
But it's how they lose.
But it's how they lose. It's how they live. It's how they die.
It'd be
awesome.
Interesting to try to pull this off in a game. It's hard to do in a game, but it'd be awesome.
Now, I've got to say, there are some historical inaccuracies in it.
Oh, yeah.
But not
enough.
The movie
is one big propaganda film.
Not enough to cause this movie not to be awesome. Now, a few things to be a little bit careful about. One, violence. We're not talking about a little bit of violence. On the violence scale,
if you bring
1 to 10. 1 being almost nothing like Care Bears, 10 being, Chainsaw Massacre. I put it at 15 or so. Lots of blood, lots of beheadings, hands being cut off.
Limbs flying.
The
being
bodies,
impaled.
Persian bodies being used as mortar in a wall. In a wall.
If you bring,
open
if
eyes.
If you bring anyone lower than, what, age 12?
Still getting to that.
15.
Number two. Sorry, ladies, but there's lots of boobies. Lots and lots of boobies. Plenty of female form. Love it. It was cool. Mostly tastefully done. The first scene like that with the Oracle. A little bit on the creepy side. There is a love scene between the Spartan king and his wife.
Nice.
Beautifully done.
All right.
Yeah.
Orgy scene. You need to take a shower after that because it makes you feel creepy. But it helps point out how creepy Xerxes was. Which, by the way, that gets to him. Xerxes, king of the Persians. God, king of the Persians. Awesome. Just
how many of us wanted his eyes to light up and say that he's cooled?
He sounded like the god ruled.
He was so awesome.
I was waiting for him to see
that. 7.5 feet tall.
I was waiting for him to just suddenly go, my divine power is not going to kill you, vaporize.
Yes.
He really did seem like God.
But the Spartans was going, whatever.
Yeah.
There was magic in it, but the magic was done so well that it actually fit. I could see that happening in real life.
I love the fact that they actually showed them the Persians using hand grenades, since it's now known that Persians had hand grenades.
They
yeah.
used that.
Early
disease. The society
awesome.
Itself, the music. Oh my god, the music was awesome. The music fits so well. Just
you can
music
use that
playing
in gaming anywhere.
With those Spartans walking out at one scene, just killing. just killing and killing.
Fully orchestrated with electric guitar. Oh,
that electric guitar bit was awesome.
The Immortals, the Persian Immortals, awesome. The costumes on the Immortals were so great.
They got their butts handed to them, but they were cool.
But they were cool.
When you see them, that they were, you know, twisted and horribly malformed.
Well, they're inbred.
That's not the way the Immortals were.
You remember Sin City.
Yeah.
You remember all those graphic novels?
Yeah.
Those that are depicted as evil are always... Just remember the
movie is based on a graphic novel.
By Frank Miller.
And it's, obviously, it's a graphic
novel. Who was the
director?
Who was the director?
The director's a director named Zack Snyder.
Okay.
The people will probably remember him from the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
But the thing about this movie, I don't recommend bringing anybody under 15, actually. If you're going to bring anybody, we had a six-year-old sitting next to us. We did not bring them. They had no relation to us. I wanted to punch those parents in the face. Those are bad parents. You may disagree with me. I don't care. That means you're a bad parent. They should not have been at this movie. That child was crawling into his mom's lap, hiding because of the sex scenes, because of the violence, because of the loudness. No children should go to this. If you are above 15, hey, go see this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is awesome.
If you're the parent of a child who's 15 or older, underneath the age of 17 to get into a restricted movie, be sure to sit down and talk with them and explain to them the various different aspects of the movie and why they are used the way they are. Explain to them, you know, about Xerxes and how his, you know, how his thought and belief that he was a god, you know,
it's a fantastic film. It's definitely a gamer movie.
Yeah.
Gaming movie. Definitely though, maybe it'll make you think. Look at some history. I know there's going to be people out there.
History is a great place to look at for adventure ideas. This is proof of this.
Yeah, and there's going to be people out there that are going to just nitpick this part. Don't. This movie does not need to be nitpicked. It wasn't built to be historically accurate.
No.
But it still upholds the core of the story.
Just think of it as a Spartan propaganda film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't even go to the movie thinking it's anything to do with going on modern day. Some people have freaked out about it.
Yeah, Iran freaked out about it horribly.
Let me rephrase that. Some Iranian leaders.
Yeah.
We don't know about the common folk.
Well, the movie's been banned in Iran.
But either way, I don't care if people decide that that's what it means. I don't believe that. It's just a movie.
You know what's amusing about the whole thing where they're saying that, you know, it's just, you know, a propagandist way of showing, you know, Iran as being the axis of evil? You know, when I sat there and watched that movie, the whole time I was watching it, I never once considered the Persians to be evil. I never once considered the Spartans to be good. All I saw when I watched that movie was two armies fighting over land.
I considered Xerxes
there was no bad guys. Xerxes was just disturbing.
And that was probably part of his upbringing.
Yeah.
Upbringing too.
Xerxes was disturbing, but the fact of the matter was he was a leader, and what he was doing is he was doing the same thing that every other king did in that time. You invade other lands, you take over the land to expand your empire.
Now, I want to throw this out. There are a couple of lines in there. While, yes, they can be uplifting, are very corning, or... Is this full of shit? They talk about, after winning this battle, the great time of peace and freedom for all will come after.
No.
Like I tell you, it's a Spartan propaganda film.
But...
Look at it like that, you'll be fine.
Cool action movie with awesome music.
Incredible
for the guys.
Fight.
It's got some boobies. But for the women folk out there, you're going to love the Spartans. 300
more stacked men.
For every nude woman.
I'd say it's a fair trade there.
Yeah.
You get men wearing Speedos. Lots of them. And they're muscular.
The only reason my sister is seeing this film is because Gerard Butler is in a Speedo. So...
Even the men have to look and go, damn, I wish I had muscles like that.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, I was watching a show on it, these people worked out, like, before the scenes.
Like I said.
Several hours.
You've never seen Faramir look so good.
Yeah. They are ripped.
Look for the scenes, how the people act, the things they say. I don't want to, I have to spoil one of the scenes. At one point, after one of the massive killings by the Spartans are walking around finishing off some survivors, and the king is moseying about eating an apple, just nonchalantly, as these men are just
being
killed. Now, yes, human life is important, and this is horrible in one way, but the way it's shot, you're like, that is funny. He's just nonchalantly eating an apple, walking around, and there's some things that he says, you just need to see it.
Yeah.
It's a great
one of the things I have to say that I was very impressed with is a majority of the fight scenes are done in a single shot. Not a single take, but you can tell where they do the speed ramping and stuff, there's points where they put two parts together. But everything's done in a single shot.
And
you'll get a camera angle for 5 minutes
of a fight.
I
was more impressed they got the tactics right.
Yeah.
How the Spartans actually fought. And the Spartan look, for the most part, is correct, except they're not wearing the breastplates.
The
film is...
Hopeless, which was the breastplate.
The film is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the best film I've seen this year
If our soldiers fought like that, that'd be insane.
Yes.
Give them machine guns and let them loose on the world.
Heck, give them spears and still kick the crap out of everybody. But that's 300.
300. It's just an enjoyable gaming movie. Don't look too deep into it. There's no point. Just see it.
It's a movie based on a graphic novel that wasn't historically accurate and never intended to be.
Yeah. A graphic novel by Frank Miller.
Yep. See it.
Basically, the thing to understand is with evil, the best way to portray it in a graphic novel is to make it twisted.
Yeah.
And you know it's evil.
Enjoy the movie.
Yes.
They call it graphic.
World domination. I mean, enjoy the movie.
Again with the world domination.
Dang it.
We'll be back.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There's a game going on, and you're invited. Join Don, Derek, and Jeremiah when they go out of character every week. Or sneak a peek into the lives of your favorite game designers on Inside Track. Hear Pulp Gamer cast judgment. The best games and the worst games are now subject to the King's Court. Get your gaming fix at pulpgamer.com. That's PULPGamer.com. It's your turn to move.
The other raptors and I have constructed a crude suspension bridge to Venezuela. Once there, I shall lie low and assume odd jobs under the name Mr. Pilkington. But perhaps I've said too much.
Well, since we're still in sort of the aftermath of the Nathan's wedding, and Jeremy's planning his current wedding, which is going to be in June, more up on that later... we do have some feedback to go into, but I'm going to wait on it because we have quite a lot to talk about. I'm going to wait for Jeremy and Nathan to get here so we can record, and should be up on the next episode, hopefully. If not, there'll be the episode after that. I'm sorry about the delay, guys, but scheduling is just getting in there, but you guys can deal with it. This is a long episode, making up for the lost week. Apologize for all that, but we were just too busy. But thanks for being patient with us and listening into the new episode. If you guys have anything, here's the drill.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
Visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can leave us an audio, call our voicemail line at 206-338-2414. Visit us on the Frapper map, send us an email, or go by the forums on Fistful of Comics, or go to our website and click on the forums link to get to the forums, and leave us a message there, and we'll get back to you absolutely as soon as we can. Thanks for listening. Gamers Haven Podcast is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution share-alike 2.5 license and is a proud member of the Fistful of Comics podcast audio group. And if you swallow the drone, you'll be fast to die. There's a new sheriff here.
gates open now.
Aliens suddenly playing in my pocket. I know that was a very bad stereotype, and I don't want to say I apologize to all the French people out there, but...
That would be going too far.
Yeah, but I have French lineage in me as well,
sorry.
So, yeah. That's why my throat, when I laugh, goes... Oh. Another joke.
We're never going to have any French listeners.
Don't get me wrong, I love some of the French actors, like Jean Reno. Have you seen him in Flushed Away?
No, haven't seen Flushed Away.
Le Frog. Anyways, back to my character. I digress very easily.
You're back on task, Frenchie.
Ow. But anyways,
are you going to eat those snails, or do I have to?
Do you eat babies?
Sometimes.
I am offended. I never eat babies with toast. I mean, no. I never eat toast. that didn't come out right.
Just continue.
I want to see it from my floating castle of doom as I lord up. I mean,
Jeremy,
just a little bit of world domination.
That's fine.
Stupid American pig dogs. I know that was a very bad stereotype.
We are big dogs. Sweet.
The thing that I didn't find very necessary, though, was the guy with the saw arms who was hacking off the general's head.
Hello, Moto.
Peasant gets hurt, goes to mage, say, heal me. Mage goes,
huh? I don't do that.
I can do this, though.
For Smurfit?
Yeah. Holy Smurf, he's smurfing Smurf that guy.
This peach.
Whoa, that's a Smurf, man.
This peach looks like
this isn't a political
tourists?
Podcast.
No, not a political
tourists?
Podcast.
Tourists? What are we worried about tourists for? I mean, tourists are good things
for
the
economy. Yeah, they spend money.
Now, if he means terrorists, why can't he just say terrorists, not terrorists?
Terrorists. Axis of evil.
Yep.
Axis of evil. I got a hat.
Those spatial entrepreneurs.
Got to wear some boots.
Now, message from your prison. Tacos rule.
Tacos rule.
My brother's name is Dad.
That right there should have been a warning.
Yeah.
That helps sustain life.
I said toast. I was like, what? Why do the cat people trade in toast? I totally missed that completely. Here you go, have some toast. I put butter
on
toast.
I've got some dry white toast.
I'm going to build this place too.
You get grumpy when you're 80. Or so I've heard.
I'm not even 80 and I'm grumpy.
No, that's just called whining. We're not old enough yet to be grumpy.